Good morning again, everybody. I'd like to also this morning, actually, first of all, mention that to ask that you keep in prayer a couple of folks in our congregation. Cheryl lost her husband this week, Cheryl Jarvis, yeah. So we ask you to please keep her in prayer and comfort her. Also, many of you probably know Vinny from Thursday Nights, New York, got the New York accent, comes on a bike. Well, right now he's in the hospital. I don't think it's anything too serious, but please keep him in prayer as well. All right, good morning again. Reminder that this month we're featuring Grace Prison Ministries as our missionary organization, Keithy and Starling. And they work to change the lives of prisoners through evangelism and sound Bible teaching. And to learn more, this is their website, www.graceprisons.org. And believe it or not, next Sunday is the first Sunday of October. I can't believe it, but it is. So that means we'll be celebrating the Lord's Supper together at the end of service next Sunday. All right, let's begin. The title of today's message comes from Peter, and it's the imperishable seed. We're going to see what that is this morning in connection with what we're looking at in Colossians. If you turn again to Colossians 2:8, so we'll begin, get our orientation and move forward on this subject. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. And you can turn there at this time. We've begun our series on the book of Colossians by seeing that there was an attack on that congregation, as we've seen. And it consisted of four areas of lies. And hope by now those are pretty familiar to most of us. We're going to study each of these in turn. The first one that we're on now is worldly philosophies, Colossians 2:8. Legalism is the second one. Mysticism and asceticism. And these are all things that Paul identifies in chapter 2 of the book of Colossians. The first one that we've been studying is the love of wisdom. Now, Paul writes Colossians to expose these four kinds of heresies and to surround them with some of the most exalted pictures of Christ anywhere in the Bible. Let's take a look at Colossians 2:8. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception. This is your mind being made captive and eventually your whole lifestyle through philosophy. Notice what can take you captive. Philosophy and empty deception. According to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. The thinking of Christ, the wisdom of Christ, the mind of Christ, that is where we are to draw our knowledge from. Not from the principles of the world or the traditions of men or through false philosophy. And as we've seen, the antidote to all the heresies we're going to study in chapter 2 is always the same thing. The simplicity of devotion to Christ. And that's what we should keep our eyes on. And it's very easy to do in the book of Colossians. I hope you're continuing to read that. Because most of this book is just the celebration of who Christ is. The fact that he's supreme over all things. He's the creator of everything. And that he's all sufficient for all of our needs. We don't have to turn anywhere else. We don't. And so that's the main thing we want to keep in mind. But we do have to face what it is that could be attacking us at this time. And then I mentioned particularly young folks, young people, to pay attention. Because when you're out there in the world, when you're at college, when you're on the job, wherever you might be, among your peers especially, you're going to be faced with these things. And so I want you to know what they are and to realize that the antidote every time is devotion to Jesus Christ. Okay, so we started our work to expose worldly philosophy as a threat to biblical Christianity. Philosophy is the love of wisdom, and that's a good thing. To love wisdom. That's what the book of Proverbs is about. James talks about wisdom. So it's a good thing. However, there's a worldly wisdom, which is not a good thing. It's philosophy, remember, studies the fundamental nature of truth. That's the first and foremost thing. And that's what we're going to spend time on again this morning. In particular, the truth of the gospel. We're going to see how the world needs truth and they don't know it. Reality. What's the fundamental nature of reality? Well, we know that God created the heavens and the earth. That's the fundamental nature of reality. Knowledge and beauty and ethics, as we've seen. Ethics is something else that's coming under big attack these days by one of the philosophies, the one philosophy of the world we are going to look at. One of the things that really attacks is ethics, what's right and what's wrong. And we've seen that you can boil all of this down to one question when we're dealing with philosophy, and that is, what is truth? How do you know what the truth is? Where do you go to get the truth? And that's the question. And it's a question for every human being. And whatever your answer is to that question determines your philosophy, your outlook on life, how you will live your life, and even how you'll worship. So for Christians, the answer, of course, is the absolute truth, truth you can rely on, is revealed by God in the Bible. Simplicity. Right? Now, does it mean that you can't learn other facts? Of course not. You got to learn geography. Where's China? Where's Vietnam? You know? Where's North Korea? I don't know why I picked that. So you do need to know other facts, but the issue is ultimate truth, absolute truth. That's the key that you can rely on, that people have relied on in the church since the first century. It comes from the Bible, and it's revealed by God. And, of course, that's also referred to in John 14:6. I have it on the board today because this is a review quickly. Jesus said to him, to Pilate, no, sorry, to one of the disciples, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. And you can see that's a pretty exclusive claim. Can you know what I mean? Whenever you say that all truth comes from one person, that's exclusive, right? It means it's not coming from all the other areas, right? Worldly philosophy or false religion doesn't come from that. It comes from a person, Jesus Christ. But it's not until you get to the book of Colossians that you start to get confident. And the reason I say that is because the key to accepting this, now definitely, don't get me wrong, the key is that Jesus said it, but the key to being solid in it is to understand who we're talking about. After all, if he's the creator of all things, then clearly he knows and embodies all truth. Does that make sense? He's the creator of all things. He was here before anything else existed. He's God. So of course he's the source of all truth. The truth, therefore, is embodied. I love this thinking that God had Jesus Christ born of a woman, and now the truth is embodied in Jesus Christ. God in the flesh, God's Son. I want you to turn to Colossians 2. Should be right down the road. Just back up a few verses from where you were. Colossians 2, verses 2 and 3. Well, Paul's writing the Colossian church, and he's going to tell them the solution. It's right up the road from Colossians 2, 8. Notice, Colossians 2, 2 to 3. That their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, and attaining to all the wealth. Notice how all the wealth comes from. That comes from the full assurance of understanding. You see, the Lord understands that our philosophy, where we get our truth from, the basis for how we live, the understanding of the nature of reality, those things are important to human beings. And he understands that. And he says, I want you to get the full assurance of understanding. He doesn't want us to be ignorant. He doesn't want us to just turn off our brains, but he wants us to understand where do we get the full assurance of understanding, real understanding. And he tells us. Resulting in a true knowledge. It's interesting when you read the book of Colossians how often the subject of knowledge comes up. And that makes sense given what the attack was, right? If the attack is on knowledge and truth, he's going to tell us where the real truth is, where the real knowledge is, so we're not tempted to go for the false. Notice what he says. Resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery. That is Christ himself. There's something else here which we'll study in a little while, that word mystery. You see, the nature of the attacks that was coming upon the Colossian church and is in our world and even in the church today has to do with mysteriousness, right? What, you know, some people in the church today want to find a new experience. And they wanted some kind of mystical revelation. They think that there's new revelation they can find out there that's not in the Bible. But notice what the Word of God says. The true knowledge of God's mystery is what? It's who? Christ himself. And that's the thing to understand. Notice why that is. In whom, in Christ, are hidden all. Underline that in your Bible if you want. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You know what that really means? It really means that you don't have to go to Harvard to get all the treasures of wisdom. I'm not knocking Harvard University, okay? Sure, you want to learn stuff. That's not my point. But if you want to know where all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are, it's in Christ himself. So no matter where you are in life, you can always just draw from all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge by carrying your Bible with you. And I don't even know if they still let you do that in public universities. It's crazy out there these days. But that's, and you know what's interesting about that? You don't have to. If you've been saturated in God's Word, if you've sat and heard the Word of God for years and years in your life, you got it inside and you're armed. You got the full armor of God on. So last Sunday we saw how truth is a big deal to God. But here's the thing. This is what we're going to look at today. Truth is also a big deal for the human race. It really, really is. Unfortunately, so many human beings don't realize that. They trivialize truth. They say, well, you've got yours and I've got mine. They say that, you know, we can't trust the media. We don't know what's true anymore. Well, you're looking in the wrong place if you're looking at the media for truth. Right? So, but truth, I'm going to prove to you, the truth is a big deal for every person on this planet who ever lived, even though most people in the world don't even realize it. I'd like you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 to see what I mean. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Peter is praising his congregation for the fact that they get it. They get the importance of truth. And then he's going to turn and he's going to look at the world and say, this is why truth is important to every person you meet. Let's see this. 1 Peter 1:22. Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. That's for the believers now. For you have been what? Born again. How were we born again? How did it work out that our sins were all forgiven? That we've been redeemed? How? Here it is. You have been born again, not of seed, which is perishable. Paul's going to talk about the perishable things. Man-made rules, man-made regulations, man-made religion. No. But what? Imperishable. There's an imperishable seed that everybody needs to have to be born again, to have eternal life. What is it? Notice what it is. Seed which is imperishable, that is through what? The living and enduring Word of God. Do you realize that everybody who's saved is saved because of the Word of God? Not an experience, but the Word of God preached. They hear the gospel, right? Faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. That's the key. When you evangelize, that's the key. Okay, I'm going to mention this a few times this morning. It's not your personal testimony. A lot of people say you got to give your personal testimony when you witness. No, you don't. I'll tell you why you don't. It's because when you give your personal testimony, what are you asking the unbeliever to put his attention on? You! That has no place in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the word of truth that saves. It's preaching the good news that Christ died for your sins, was buried, and was raised from the dead 3 days later. And we're talking about God in the flesh here, and everybody who believes in Him has eternal life. When I give the gospel, I don't care what they think about me. In fact, a lot of times they're a little offended by me when I do that. They're surprised. So they're not going to think that well of me. And it's interesting that if they're not, if this is an offensive message, your personal testimony didn't go anywhere, right? The only thing that goes anywhere is the power of the Word of God. Spoken, by the way. Spoken. They hear the Word of God. Through the living and enduring Word of God. Notice he goes on, for all flesh is like grass. We're all going to die. Its glory is like the flower of grass. This is why people need the truth. They're starved for the truth and they don't know it. Notice, the grass withers. We're all in the process of dying. The flower falls off. You may think you're young and healthy and you'll worry about God later. But you never know. Nobody gives you a guarantee. Right? This is called life insurance, but it's not a guarantee you live. Actually, life insurance is you betting you're going to die. Because somebody else is going to get the money. You know, you don't outlive the life insurance payment. Because you did. All right. The flower falls off. Notice what endures forever. We sang about it this morning. The word of the Lord endures forever. You see, truth, the word of God is a big deal to God. And they don't know it mostly, but it's a big deal to the people of the world. If they would but recognize it. Why?
Because people are forgiven through the faith in the truth of the gospel. We're all born sinners. Everybody knows that they don't do well, almost everybody. If you're sane, you know that you're not doing everything perfectly right. If you're honest and you just look at the Ten Commandments, you know that you've broken them. Especially when Jesus comes along and says, well, it's said that you cannot commit adultery, but I tell you, men, if you've ever looked at a woman with lust in your heart, you've already committed adultery. If you've ever been angry, it says you shall not kill. But if you've ever been angry, you've killed somebody in your heart. And once you see the depths of sin, you get it. We're all sinners. Okay? What do we do about that? Well, that's where all the false religions, you know, come in. I'm going to deprive myself. I'm going to confess my sins. I'm going to do all these things to try to deal with my sin. Well, you only have to do one thing. And that's believe in the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You see it? You got to hear the word of God. And when you hear the gospel and believe it, you're forgiven forever. You're redeemed. You're reconciled to God. How wonderful. You see how it all is based on the truth? So the truth is not only important to God, it's vital to human beings. We are justified by believing in the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? God, the creator of the universe, knowing that we're sinners, knowing that nothing good dwells in our flesh, nevertheless, because we place our faith in his beloved son, he says, I see you now as righteous. You're not in experience yet. Your bodies, the flesh, actually, not the body, is not, but I see you as that. Why? Because he's going to complete a work. And we're going to be presented with Christ in glory. And then we'll be seen as what he's already declared us to be, though not yet. All of that through faith in the truth of the gospel. In the truth of the gospel. See, that's what it means to have faith in a message. You say, that's true. See, it's truth, and it's truth you can rely on. You don't walk around and you say, well, you know, Jesus was the Savior yesterday, but he's not the Savior today. Does that make any sense? Enduring truth that never changes. The truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's how people are saved. But again, what is the basis for people believing in Christ? You know, it's not a mystical experience. You know, I went somewhere and I got goosebumps. And I was slain in the spirit. When I woke up, I was born again. No, you weren't. You were hoodwinked again. No, it's not that. Again, it's not our personal testimony. It is what? Hearing the truth about Christ. That's the basis for people believing in Christ. Please turn to John chapter 19, verse 35. John 19, 35. Truth is a big deal to God. Truth is also a big deal for the human race, though many humans don't realize it. It's the basis upon which anybody, whosoever, is redeemed forever, forgiven. John 19:35. We're sealed for the day of redemption also through faith in the truth of the gospel. Imagine. That's Galatians chapter 1. Having heard and believed the word of God, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Spirit. For the day of redemption. You're placed into Christ. Think of it. All by means of hearing the truth and believing it. You're placed into Christ permanently and then sealed up. It's as if it's a little bit, but not, you know, a little bit probably sacrilegious. But if you think of Jesus as a bottle, just for a moment, he's not a bottle. But and then you put in him, you know, like I dream of Jeannie, you know. And then you're sealed up with a seal. But the seal is the Holy Spirit. Nothing's going to get by the Holy Spirit, right? You're in the greatest place in the universe, in Christ, and you're sealed by the Holy Spirit, and you're adopted by God the Father. Now, if that isn't security, I don't know what is. I can't even imagine, because there isn't anything more secure than that. Oh, we think, you know, we're secure for life because we've got this investment and that fortune and that. Let me tell you something. First of all, that brings a lot of problems. Second of all, it's not going to survive death. And I don't know about you, but these days, when I look at the craziness of the world financial system, I'm not even sure it's going to be there next month. But what is enduring is the Word of God and our salvation. Look at John 19:35. And he who has seen has testified. John saw Jesus. He's the only apostle, by the way, who saw Jesus die on the cross. Okay? And his testimony is true. Notice it's the truth of what John writes in the Gospel of John. That's the key. Why? And he knows he is telling the truth. Why? So that you may believe. What you believe in is the truth preached about Jesus Christ. That and that alone is what you hear and believe and become born again. Go forward to John chapter 20 now, verses 30 to 31, where John says, look, I've written 20 chapters to you. Now I'm going to tell you why. Why are there all of these, the seven miracles that are in the Gospel of John? Why? Why did he walk around and tell everybody that you need the Lamb of God and the way to get it is by believing in him? Here's why. Why did he have the most vivid description of the cross of Christ? Because he was there. But why did he present that? Why did he present so dramatically the death of Christ and also the resurrection of Christ? Here's why. Verse 30 of John 20. There are many other signs that Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written, notice, so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing that truth, you may have life in his name, life everlasting. And by the way, if there's nothing else that you want to, that can get people's attention about why they need to hear the truth, it's that. It's that everybody knows they're going to die. And nobody knows the solution to that except Christians. Oh, they think they do. You know, it's kind of, when you think about it, it's sort of a madness of sorts to think that the health system is going to keep me alive. Well, yeah, for a little while maybe, but you're still going to die, right? Oh, I'm going to have a legacy. I'm going to have my name on some buildings. Well, buildings don't always stay around forever. You know, besides, it's not really you, is it? It's a name. So, you know, the only way to find a solution to death is the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That ought to get people's attention, if nothing else. And I know people are blind, and I know people are prejudiced against Christianity, but it seems to me that everybody wants to know the solution to death. And when they understand that truth is the solution to death, and believing the truth about Jesus Christ solves the problem of death, that ought to get everybody's attention. I mean, I'm always mystified, you know. I know that that people's hearts are blinded to the truth. I get that. But when you consider the simplicity and the wonder of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I don't get it. I don't know why everybody doesn't just cheer and applaud and get on their knees and believe the moment they hear it. Because it's so wonderful. So wonderful. And we should be bold about it. We're going to see why it is that there's so many barriers to giving the gospel today. It has to do actually with philosophy. When it boils right down, I'll show that to you. Hopefully I'll be able to be clear about it. But at the end of the day, the gospel is so compelling and powerful. It is a challenge, but it's a challenge that brings with it the most amazing blessings of all. So these words in the Gospel of John have been written for a purpose. You may believe in that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that truth in Christ is what leads to faith in Christ. And faith in Christ leads to the most amazing blessings you can imagine. But again, I have to say what the gospel is not, along with what it is, okay? The gospel is not something that rubs off on people. You know, people think, well, I'm a light to the world, and I'll just, my bubbly personality and the fact that I'm happy will rub off on people, and then they'll believe in Jesus Christ. No, they won't. Why? Because what's the one thing that results in people believing in Jesus Christ? The truth of the gospel. Open your mouths, preach the gospel. That's how people are born again. That's how people are saved. That's the gospel. It's not creating an emotional experience, by the way. It's not as if, well, you know, if we just got people in a place where we scared them and all this stuff and got them all worked up, then they'll believe. No. It's as simple as preaching the word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what causes people to believe. And again, I mentioned this already. It's not giving you personal testimony. All right? Because again, when you give your personal testimony, their eyes are on you. And I don't know about you, but I think that's the most dangerous thing I could do with preaching the gospel is to have people look at me and think that it's got something to do with me. No, it doesn't. It's got something to do and everything to do with Christ. And also, you know, You know, unfortunately, there's this idea in the church that if you just have the right sales approach, if you just have some high-pressure sales tactics, you get in front of people and you have the right things to say and you don't let them leave until they admit they believe in Christ and sign a paper, that doesn't work either. It's simple. The power of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ is the only thing that results in the salvation of people. All right. The gospel is the message of truth. Let's take a look at this in the Word of God. Galatians 2:5. Last week we looked at the gospel. I mean, the truth that's very important to God. This week we're seeing why it is that the truth of the gospel is important or should be for every person. Look at Galatians 2:5. Galatians 2:5. All right. But we did not yield in subjection to them for even an hour. Of course, the context of Galatians is that there were people of the circumcision, meaning they wanted to put people back under the law, and they said that by your performance, you will please God. By performance, you'll be justified. God looks at you and says, man, he's been keeping all the rules. All right, I'm going to save that one. And then after people are born again, they say to them, well, now you have to go back under the law because in order to continue to be pleasing to God, you got to continue to go by the rules and regulations. That was trying to be peddled in the Galatian church. And Paul says, nonsense. He says worse than that. He says, if anyone is preaching a gospel other than the one Paul preached, he is to be accursed. Strong language. Of course it is, because this is people's salvation and destiny depend on the word of God, the gospel being preached correctly and clearly, and not to muddy the waters with other things at all. Galatians 2:5, we did not yield in subjection to them for even an hour. Why? Here's why. So that the what? The truth of the gospel would remain with you. See how important the truth is? Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Again, the point is that when we see the gospel, the emphasis on the truth. So what is that saying? If people don't think there's anything such thing as truth anymore, what they've done is they've put a big wall between them and the one thing that will give them eternal life, the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is why truth is so important. You know, you might have said, for the first time you saw philosophy, you might go, oh, brother, you know, oh, that's, you know, philosophy, that's the Greeks, that's this and that. Ah, come on. Well, because it's vital. What you think about the truth determines whether or not you're going to listen to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, think of it. This is why personal testimonies don't work. If they think, well, that's your truth, John, but that's not my truth. See, if they don't think truth is universal and absolute, then they won't hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, will they? They'll say, well, that's your truth. I got mine. See ya. That's why personal testimonies don't work. No, the one thing is that they get there is absolute truth. God is the Creator. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He did die on the cross 2,000 years ago. These are facts. This is truth. And believing those facts, putting your trust, your faith in the truth of what you're hearing, that's what saves you. Getting a little worked up. This is one subject I totally get worked up about. The gospel and its mistreatment. All right, look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Notice again. In Christ, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Christ with the Holy Spirit of promise. And finally, let's go to our book, Colossians, two books down. Go past Philippians, another great book. Maybe we'll study that next. And go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 3. I hope by now you're expecting to see something here, and indeed you do. Let's read it together. We give thanks to God, Colossians 1, 3, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of notice, of which you previously what? heard. They heard it. They heard the truth. Notice, because of the hope now laid up for you in heaven, you have the hope, meaning sure, certain anticipation of the glories to come. Why? Of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel. There it is again. Which has come to you just as in all the world. Also, it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing. Even it has been doing, notice, in you. The truth is at work in you now. Since the day you heard of it and understood. See it? Christianity, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is a matter of hearing truth and understanding it and believing it. Okay? It's not a feeling. It's not a mystical experience. Okay? It's not. It's hearing the truth, understanding it, and believing it. Okay? You know, because I've heard this expression, and I don't know if you've heard it, but preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. Have you ever heard that one? Well, you're blessed if you haven't. But it's popular out there. Preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. What are they saying? You're a bubbly personality, and all the nice things you do, you bring coffee in the morning, and then people are going to be believers in Christ because you did all those nice things. No. It's always necessary to use words. That's the key. Words are the key. You know, it's interesting how satanic this philosophy is in the world today. It's called postmodernism. We're going to take a look at it. What does it attack? You know what the two things it attacks? Truth and words, believe it or not. They say that words don't have any meaning of their own. Isn't that something? Yeah. Isn't that ingenious of Satan, though? Why? Because if words have no meaning, then the word of truth has no meaning. Right? If there's no such thing as truth, then there's no such thing as the word of truth. The only problem is that's the gospel, and that's how people get saved and live forever. Do you see the attack? I mean, you must have seen this. Maybe you haven't, but like, I'll just give you a trite illustration of this. The Constitution of the United States, made up of words. You see, for a long time, people said, well, the words have meaning. Right? And then, by the way, the way to find the meaning is to find out who wrote it. Just like the Word of God. The way to get the meaning of the Word of God is to say who wrote it and who wrote it. God did. The Holy Spirit did. Right? That's pretty solid. Well, of course, getting back to the Constitution, what do we have today? Well, we have whatever you read into it. It's a living document. Sounds so great, doesn't it? Living document. What does that mean? Well, the words kind of mean whatever we say they do today. The words themselves have no meaning. What has meaning is when the community gives their meaning to these words. And that's changing all the time. The Constitution's changing all the time. Didn't really mean that you have the right to bear arms. It meant that you have the right to arm bears. It's really close. You know, words have meaning. All right? And the Word of God never changes. Please turn to Romans chapter 1:18. Romans 1:18. Here's the flip side. If you don't think truth is important, let's look at the flip side. We looked at truth from the point of view of the gospel that saves people, that gets them to be forgiven of their sins and placed in union with Christ. Now let's look at the flip side when it comes to truth. Notice. Romans 1:18-19. For the wrath of God, we've seen the love of God over here with the gospel, but there's also such a thing as the wrath of God. Now, what's that all about with the human race? It's revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. But what makes them ungodly and unrighteous? Who suppress the truth? Right? Jesus knew what he was talking about when he said, you will know the truth and the truth will make you free. If you don't know the truth, then you'll be in bondage. You see it? And he's talking here particularly about the gospel, by the way. Who God is, who Christ is. See, he's not saying that, well, once in a while you don't go to church. Oh, you suppress the truth. You're unrighteous and ungodly. Not at all. He's talking about the message of truth, the gospel, which is, of course, what the book of Romans lays out magnificently. No, that's what he's talking about. He's saying they knew who God was and they shut him out. And the only way they could do that was by suppressing the truth. You see it? And you see that all over the place today. That's what they want to do. They want to snuff out the truth about God and Christ all over our society. You know what I'm... You've seen it, right? They don't want the truth to be there. They want to suppress it. You get it? They want to witness tamper, if you know what I mean. We can't hear the truth from the Christians. We don't want it. We'll suppress it. That way we can go merrily along, being unrighteous and ungodly. Ungodly means just what it says, without God. I don't need God in my life. Why? Because I suppress the truth. You see, if I really believe the truth, then I understand I need him. But when I suppress the truth, I don't think I do. When I suppress the truth by coming up with these grand theories that smart people are telling me I have to believe, then, you know, I can live independent of God. If I descended from elements in the universe, then I don't need God, right? He doesn't exist. All right, so the other point is that truth matters on both sides of the fence. Okay, that's how you get saved, and that's why the wrath of God comes on the unbeliever. All right, again, just to emphasize this, it's men and women who suppress the truth who are ungodly and unrighteous. See, we're used to looking at the symptoms, right? Oh, like he's an ungodly person, he lives an ungodly life. Well, why? You ever ask yourself that question? Why? Because we know we're all born sinners, right? We all still have the flesh, that manifestation of sin in our bodies. We all do. It's not that. He's not saying that. He's saying that the ones who suppress the truth are the ones who are really ungodly and unrighteous. Okay. Truth matters. That's what the peddlers of false philosophy and theology do. They suppress the truth. There's a whole movement in Christianity, and it's growing, that says, put the Bible aside and just give people experiences, so-called, of God. Yeah, well, what are they doing? Suppressing the truth, right? So you just have to understand that this is a great way that Satan uses to try to destroy in people's lives and the church itself, if he could, which he can't. All right. We grow, think about it, as Christians, one way. We grow as a result of teaching and speaking the truth in love. Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love, we ought to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. Truth remains the center after we believe in Christ. Why? Because that's how we grow. That's what we do now, grow. Right? He who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. How? The truth. Jesus said, notice, he didn't just say, if you're familiar with the truth, if you heard the truth once, if you didn't. No, he said, if you continue in my word, then you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So if you have a church that says, we're going to put the Bible aside and just love each other and play cool music and have programs, what do they just do? They put aside the one thing that's the center of them growing in Christ. You know, even love. The Bible says that real love rejoices with the truth, right? It says it doesn't rejoice in unrighteousness. This is 1 Corinthians 13:6. You don't have to go there because we've got to keep moving there. But does love, real love, doesn't rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. Truth, 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 truth. The new man has been created according to truth. You know that? We talk about, you know, old man, crucified with Christ, I'm the new man now. Well, guess how the new man was put together? With truth. Created in righteousness of the truth. Yeah, remarkable. You know, the first piece of armor that is mentioned in Ephesians 6 is truth, right? The entire armor of God, by the way. I just realized this. The entire armor of God that will what? It'll protect us in the evil day when we're under attack by the rulers and the authorities and the world forces of this darkness. What is the entire armor of God made from, forged from? The truth, which is the word of God. That's what it is. Please turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, so you can see this. The difference between people who are armed for the evil day and aren't armed is truth. I think it's pretty important. Wouldn't you say that's pretty important? When we face attacks from the rulers and authorities and the world forces of this darkness, the thing that's going to win the day is truth. No wonder Satan wants to get truth out of churches, get the Bible out of churches. That way he'll have all sorts of holes in the armor to go after us on the evil day. Look at Ephesians 6:10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Nothing about us here, right? We're strong in the Lord, the strength of his might. No matter how mature we are, by the way. Some people think, well, when I reach maturity, I got it all. And I'm out there and I can fight. No, you can't. All you can do is stand there and see the deliverance of the Lord. Notice, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers. These are fallen angels now. Against, notice they're not on our side, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places, which, by the way, says that these things all exist and they're arrayed against the believers. Okay. What do we do about it? Therefore, take up the full armor of God so you will be able, ability rests in the armor, able to resist in the evil day and having done everything to stand firm. Okay, let's take a look at what the armor of God consists of. Now, there's a metaphor here, okay? He's going to talk about the pieces of armor on the Roman soldier. But that's not the point. It's just an illustration. The point is, what is it really? What's the essence of this? Notice, stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth. That's clearly based on truth, right? Girding our loins is manufactured from the truth. Notice what else? Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. The only way you realize that God has declared you righteousness is how? By being preached the truth, right? Being told that, how you're justified, right? And having shod your feet with the preparation of the what? The gospel of peace. How can you do that? Because you've heard it from the word of God, the truth. You know the truth about the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which shield you'll be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. But what is it that faith consists of? What is it forged in? Yeah, it's in the promises of the truth. You see it? And then what? Take the helmet of salvation. We've already seen, how does salvation come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing from the word of God, the truth. And then the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The word of God. It all begins and ends with the word of God. So again, it's no wonder not at all that we see so many Christians and denominations and local churches crumbling on the evil day. And we see it all the time. And by the way, the evil day isn't necessarily, you know, physical attacks. It's more often, it's these spiritual attacks. It is the attack and the enticement and the temptation, actually, to take the word of God out of the assembly. That's the evil day. Think about it. Isn't that really more evil than, oh my God, we had a hurricane and it crushed the church steeple, right? No, it's the spiritual side, guys. That's really the evil day. The evil day is when the word of God is taken out of the temple, because we're the temple. All right. So they crumble on the evil day when what? False teaching comes in and tries to attack. The temptation to stray comes in. This is the evil day. When the Bible's no longer central, when truth is cast aside, the very metal that is used to cast the armor is cast aside. You don't have the armor. Therefore, you're wide open to the attacks. You see it? That's how important truth is. And how we to be in the truth all the time so that we know the basis for our righteousness. We know the good news, right? We know what it is we are to believe so that we can protect ourselves from all the flaming arrows of the evil one. All right. Flip side. Those who will be judged by God as wicked, you don't have to turn here. You can check it out later, 2 Thessalonians 2:10-12. Those who will be judged by God as wicked, these are unbelievers now. They didn't love the truth of the gospel. That was the reason. Think about it. The reason that God is going to judge the wicked is because they did not love the truth of the gospel. Think about it. There is a God. He will come in judgment one day. And the judgment and the wrath will rest upon those who rejected and hated the truth of the gospel. It's really clear. Truth is vital to the human race. The truth about Christ. And as a result, they believed what is false instead. You see it? There's no neutral ground. There's no demilitarized zone. All right? It's either truth or lie. Okay? It's either what God says or what Satan says. And what the problem is that Satan always tries to muddy the waters. He never wants it clear. See, that's the thing. If you have a mystical experience, nothing's clear. Well, I just quieted the mind, you know, and I sat there and I just felt something. I think it was God. Is that clarity? Is that truth? No, that's muddy waters if I've ever seen it. Well, you know, you have to believe in Christ, but you also have to do these things. You have to have the sacraments, you know. Not just the believing in Christ part. There's more to it. What's that doing? Muddying the waters, right? And it's all over the place. So people who reject the gospel and the word of God entirely are the ones who will be judged. By the way, I have to mention this again. It's not somebody who misses church for 3 weeks. A lot of people read into this stuff that's not there. This is talking about unbelievers who reject the gospel and reject God. But you know what's interesting? Do you realize that despite all of that, what's going on in men's hearts, God's desire has never changed for them. His great desire is that all men come to the knowledge of the truth. You see it? Truth is real important to God, and he knows it's real important for every human being. And he wants everybody to come to the knowledge of that truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. So you can see it for yourself. This is what the Word of God says about the truth of the gospel. Notice, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. 1 Timothy is right before... Oh, 2 Timothy. Right. People are looking at me like, yeah, what is it right before? Okay. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. By the way, who's our Savior? And who is he here? What comes right before it here? God. So what does that mean? Jesus Christ is God. Yeah, it's all over. People say, well, he never calls himself God. Really? In the sight of God our Savior, who desires what? All men to be saved. Do you realize that? By the way, this is the answer to Calvinism. Isn't it? You know what I mean? That God picks some to be saved and not others? Baloney. This is right here. God desires all men to be saved. And to what? Come to the knowledge of the truth. See it? How important truth is? God wants it for everybody. Everybody. The Muslim, the Hindu, the Buddhist, the Catholic, doesn't matter. He wants everybody to hear the gospel and come to the knowledge of the truth. Why? For there's one God. Here's the truth. One God. Notice. One God. There's not a God of the philosophers and the God of the Hindus and the God. No, there's one. There's one God. And notice this too. One mediator between God and man. Just one. It's not angels. It's not patron saints. It's not the Virgin Mary. There's one mediator between God and man. And who's that? The man Christ Jesus. That's right. Now why? Because he gave himself. Here's the gospel. As a ransom for all, the testimony given at the proper time. For this, Paul writes, I was appointed as a preacher to preach the word. All right? And an apostle. I'm telling the truth. I am not lying. As a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. He was clear, was he not? He knew what his mission was. It was to preach the gospel and teach the truth. And the truth is, there's one God. There's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, and God, and Christ Jesus gave himself as a ransom for all. And that, my friends, is the gospel. You see it? God desires all men to be saved. God desires all men to come to the knowledge of the truth of the gospel. Truth is a very big deal to God. And by the way, these are the very things that get attacked by the philosophies and the false worship and the false righteousness in our day. You know that there's not one God that gets attacked. You have your God and I have mine. That there's many ways to God. You ever hear that? Many roads to God. No, there's not. There's one mediator. And the gospel, of course. Christ gave himself as a ransom for all. All right, we're going to end there, but next week we're going to move into the fact that, unfortunately, there's a movement in Christianity today, I've mentioned this a couple of times, to disregard the truth of the gospel and replace it with so-called experiences of God. And it's growing. I know, look, you know, thank God we're in a little cocoon where we honor and worship the Word of God as central to what we're all about. But unfortunately, that's not what's going on in a lot of churches today. And that's why, while for us here, okay, it may be less important to know that, but for people who are going to be going places, people that are going to maybe move out of here and go to some other church, or young people that are at college, it's really important for them to understand this. It's important for them to understand that they're fed and they grow by the preaching of the Word of God, period. All right? All right. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your word is truth, that you have established it in the Word of God, the Bible, that you have ordained and appointed evangelists and pastors and teachers to preach your word and to teach the Word of God. It's the basis for our salvation. It's the basis for our growth. And we know that Jesus Christ is the truth, so it will be the basis for the glory that will be revealed when he is revealed to the world. So, Father, we just now ask that the Holy Spirit would continue to strengthen us so that we would stand firm on the evil day, firm in the truth of Jesus Christ. And we ask all of this in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Just a reminder, too, that speaking of the truth will be available again this Thursday at 7 o'clock in our informal Bible study. We're just wrapping up Ephesians, and we're going to move into something soon. We've got a great list that we put together last week of what we might do. So it's really something. I'm serious about that. You know, there's a reason why we do that every week, you know. All righty, you're dismissed. We already prayed. Enjoy the week. Enjoy the fact that Maria is at least 1,000 miles away, right? But most of all, enjoy the fact that God has given you his word. Have a good day.